This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Al-Raqib, the watchful, the all-observing. Contrary to popular belief, there are some thoughts we are accountable for, like these. Allah says, describing the dialogue that will happen between Allah and Isa on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him if he told people to take him and his mom as gods besides Allah. And part of what Isa alayhi salam will respond is he'll say, I only said to them what you commanded me to say, which is to worship Allah, my Lord, and your Lord. And he says, وَكُنْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا. I was a witness over them as long as I was alive, but when you took me up, when you caused me to die, you were the observer over them, and you are over all things a witness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ رَقِيبًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a watcher over all things. And also in the first verse of Surah An-Nisa that you've probably heard in most of the Jum'ah khutbas that begin with, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ تَقُوا رَبَّكُمْ, O mankind, fear your Lord who created you from a single soul, until he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Verily Allah is a raqib, an observer over you. So what does this name mean? It means he's the observer of all. Nothing is missed, no matter how small, no matter how slight. And Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, Allah is a raqib. He's the observer of our thoughts. So what then about our actions? And so the fruit of this name is the word muraqabah, which is to observe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's observance over you. And you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us that there are seven who are going to be shaded on the day where there is no shade except for the shade of Allah. The first is a just king. The second is a young person who grows up in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third is a person or a man whose heart is attached to the masjid. The fourth is a man who's invited to a woman of beauty and lineage to zina, and he says, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fifth is a person who gives in charity so secretly that his right hand, or his left hand rather, doesn't know what his right hand is giving. And then the sixth are two people who love each other for the sake of Allah. They gather upon that and they separate on that. And then the seventh and the last one is a person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in seclusion, and a tear forms on his cheek because of that. Now, what is shared between all of these seven who are in the shade of Allah? The taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recognizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watches you. What else would make a king be just when they can oppress, other than knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching them? What makes a young person with all of the passions of youth choose to instead subdue all of that and commit to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What makes a person's heart attached to the masjid that they come to it again and again and again? What makes a man or a woman opt out of zina saying they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What makes a person give so secretly? Who do they know sees them when nobody else on the planet sees them and knows about what they're giving? Who are these people who love each other for the sake of Allah? Who are they loving each other for the sake of? And when that person who's remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala privately, what are they actually engaging in? And so the great fruit of this name is to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always sees you. And that's a very important concept that we want to make sure that we emphasize, and we continue to communicate to our communities, that we continue to share with our communities. But there's also another really important element that doesn't get emphasized enough, and that is also very important that we communicate to each other, and that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just the one who's always watching you, but he is always watching over you. And so it's not just the fruit of taqwa from this name, but also the fruit of tawakkud. Firstly is to monitor our thoughts. And this is important to clarify, because it's widely believed that we're not held accountable for our thoughts. And that may lead a person to give free rein to whatever comes up in the domain of their mind. And a lot of times you'll hear this in the framing about Islam's position on homosexuality, for example. You're not held accountable for your thoughts, but you're only held accountable for what you do. You're only held accountable for your actions. But the reality is that there are some thoughts that you are not held accountable for, sure, but there are thoughts that you are held accountable for, absolutely. For example, is a person allowed to continuously engage in lustful thoughts about someone that's not allowed for them? No. Is a person allowed to fantasize about the spouse of somebody else? The answer, of course, is no. But it's just a thought. It's not allowed. So what you're not accountable for is the fleeting thought. But after you realize that it's a thought that's haram, then you have to engage it, and you must suffocate it, and you don't give it space to grow. Ibn al-Qayyim, he says about the fleeting thought, he has a beautiful passage about fleeting thoughts. He says, repel the thought, because if you don't, it becomes an idea. So repel the idea, because if you don't, it'll become a desire. So fight against that desire, because if you don't, it'll become an intention, a determination, and a passion. And if you don't, repel that. If you don't fight that, then it'll become an action. And if you don't replace it with the opposite, if you don't fight that, then it'll become a constant habit. At that point, it'll be difficult for you to change. Where did it start? It all started with a fleeting thought. Ibn Masruq, he said, that whoever observes Allah in their thoughts will have their limbs protected in their actions. And the second thing to monitor are your intentions. To ask yourself the question, why am I doing this good deed? Who am I trying to please by doing it? When a person makes their intention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will do and not do for Allah. I'll say it again, they will do and not do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what I mean by that is, you know, I was once in a class with Sheikh Muhammad Sharif rahimahullah, and he was being asked by a sister who was describing how her community just exhausts her. She was their go-to volunteer. She was the one who everybody calls for everything, the Sunday school, the masjid activities. And she would always find herself saying yes. And she'd be doing things even when she didn't really have the time. And so when she described her situation to him, his answer was one that I never forgot. He said, if a person finds themselves never being able to say no, then what I would tell them to do is to focus on their ikhlas, to work on their ikhlas. And everybody's like, what? You know, when a person is always monitoring Allah and their intentions, they'll do and not do for Allah. I may not do this event or this program or teach this class or do this act that other people really think is a good idea and it's worth my time, but I'm not concerning myself with what you think is good. I'm concerning myself with what I believe is the most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for me to do with my time. Every one of us is going to be responsible as to how we spent our time. And it may be more pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I simply spent time with my family or in the service or simply company of my parents at home or even working on my health. I am responsible for using that time that I have to do the things that I know are most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not what is most pleasing to people. The third thing for you to monitor is your tongue. And I could have said monitor your actions, which is the fourth one. We're going to get to that inshallah ta'ala. But the tongue gets its own special shout out. You know why? Because it is a weapon of mass destruction. People really don't consider what they say to be a source of sin. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was asked by Mu'adh, Ya Rasulullah, are we held accountable for what we say? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may your mother lose you, Ya Mu'adh. Like it's an expression. And he says, وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسِ What else will cause people to be dragged on their faces or on their noses into the hellfire? إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ Except for the harvest of their tongues. Like what else will cause people to enter the hellfire other than what they said or what they tweeted or what they wrote in a group chat somewhere? The Prophet ﷺ, he told us about the tongue. He said that when the son of Adam gets up in the morning, all of the limbs speak to the tongue and they say, Fear Allah for our sake. Because we are with you. If you're straight, we will be straight. And if you're crooked, we will be crooked. And that hadith is reported by At-Tirmidhi. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, a person utters a word thoughtlessly, without thinking about it, not thinking much of it. And because of it, they fall into the hellfire deeper than the distance between the east and the west. You know that hadith? It's in Bukhari and Muslim. It's very, very scary because the key word is, لا يلقي لها بال. He doesn't pay attention to it. It's just a statement that they made. It's just a tweet. When people consider their sins, they don't consider a word that they said to be something major. But it's major with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's so light, so easy, so fleeting, and you don't realize it. But it may cause a person to sink into the hellfire deeper than the east and the west. And fourthly, the fourth thing to monitor is your actions. You know, I was once driving with my friend Bilal Khan. I was riding shotgun. He was driving so slow. So then I asked him, you know, what's the deal? Why are you driving so slow? And he said, this is a 25-mile-hour zone, and it's camera enforced. You won't get stopped if you drive faster than that. You'll just get a nice ticket in the mail. Even in the absence of the police, people were still obeying the law because the belief in that which they couldn't see. Taqwa of a ticket. Taqwa of Allah is similar in that it commands us to stay in our lanes and obey the rules of the road, because if we don't, we may not be stopped along the way, but we won't like what we receive when we finally come home. And the second fruit, we said, is not just taqwa, but tawakkul. To rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He's the one who always sees you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a beautiful passage, seeking your tawakkul, He says, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْعَزِيزِ الرَّحِيمِ And rely upon the mighty, the merciful. الَّذِي يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ The one who sees you when you arise. وَتَقَلُّبُكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ And your rotation amongst those who prostrate. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ Allah is the all-hearing, the all-knowing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all of these attributes so that you can rely upon Him. He's the mighty, He's the merciful, He sees you, He hears you, and He knows. All of these attributes are mentioned and these names in that sequence of verses so that you can rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If nobody sees you, Allah sees you. If nobody knows where you are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows where you are. If nobody hears you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears you. So rely upon Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ar-raqib grant us a tawakkul that He loves. Allahumma ameen.